Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Welcome to episode 462 of the Nintendo PowerCast. I'm your host, N64 Josh. Crawler, what's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going? Crawler coming at you.
Johnny Bo, what's up?
What's up? I'm super prepared.
Jeez, what's going on?
What's going on, cheese curds? What does that even mean? You're prepared.
Well, somebody said.
Just tell them.
All right, we got a review where somebody said we're not always prepared. So I'm prepared tonight.
That's good. Because when they said we're not, they were probably just talking about you and didn't want to hurt your feelings.
Play Balatro.
There we go. There it is. What game should you play? Well, before we get started, guys, something very important is happening on Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to be on a TikTok spotlight. So it's kind of like the front page of TikTok. So come hang out. It's going to be, I think we're going to set the record for the most racers in Mario Kart tournament that day. And I've been streaming every day at about 4 p.m. Pacific. As long as the schedule works out, I've been streaming daily regardless, but usually around 4 p.m. Pacific on TikTok. And the turnouts have been crazy, honestly. So if you guys want to come get some races with us, we'd love to have you. The other thing is this is the last weekend that I'll be streaming for raising some funds for PAX East. I'm super excited to go. I've never been to Boston. And if you want to get involved in any way, you can show up for those streams, buy a block of game time. Or if you just want to help out the cause, you can go to n64josh.com/donate and throw a little cash that way. It's all greatly appreciated. And you guys have honestly just like blown me away, all the generosity. So thank you. Thank you so much. I really, really do appreciate it. Before we go any further, Johnny, where can people connect with you?
I'm Johnny Bo everywhere, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok for now.
Jeezy, where can people connect with you?
You can find me on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Communication Error Podcast, Cheesy C64.
Yeah, my bad.
CHEEZYC64.
All right. And Crawler, how about you?
Best spots are TikTok and Twitter, Nightcrawler724, Nightcrawlers without the E.
So I don't want to spend too much time talking about what we've been playing, but like, I do want to, you know, I know Johnny's been going hard on, Crawler called it Beatrice. And, I think it's, so I just thought it'd be cool to talk about, Balatro, right? So, talk about what we've been playing. One of the games that launched yesterday, we're going to be talking about in our news section and, cause nobody actually played it. And so I just thought we kind of, you know, briefly go over what we've been playing over the last week. If there's anything new and noteworthy, we should definitely bring it up.
Johnny's probably got the most to talk about what he's been playing. He bought the game that came out yesterday.
Least amount of time.
He's been playing Xenoblade. He's been playing lots of stuff. So Johnny, go.
All right. Yeah. So I've been playing Xenoblade Chronicles 3. I have not played 1 or 2. Well, I played parts of 1 or 2. But those are old games, so I'm done. I don't want to play old games. So I'm going to play the most recent one. And it's really good. Like, Xenoblade, it's really, really good. I'm only, I think, 8 hours in. I'm in Chapter 2. The battle system is, I understand this one. I think it's the one that I understand the most out of the three Xenoblade games. Like, it's much better than the drivers in the second one. I'd never understood the driver thing. Maybe I'll play that again.
You should, bro. I don't think I've ever understood a single JRPG, and I somehow liked it. So if my simple mind can enjoy Xenoblade Chronicles 2, I know you can. Just give it a little time.
I'm not a huge, we all know that I'm not a huge story person, but this story is like bonkers. It's weird. So yeah. I'm kind of into it. There's a part pretty early on.
Who are you and what'd you do with Johnny Bo? Yeah.
I mean, I like JRPGs. They're very, is cathartic a word? Is that a right word? Like you could just kind of turn your brain off.
Cathartic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, the, it's not, you're not really actively trying to dodge attacks or do anything too active with the gameplay. So it's just kind of chill.
Okay, Cryptic calling me out here saying Josh didn't even know how to use cores in Xenoblade Chronicles 2 until like 100 hours in.
there's a lot of things to learn, because I'm 8 hours in and I feel like I'm still getting new systems, and I'm sure there's probably like a ton more systems that I need to learn.
Yeah, famously in Xenoblade 2, there's a tutorial screen like 75 hours in.
That's cool. I probably skipped it.
But no, I was wondering, again. Cheesy, you like story. Why don't you play RPGs?
I don't know. So like, because I've never given like Xenoblade a chance. Is it like Breath of the Wild? Is it a hack and slash? Is it like, I guess
no, I, it's I, like, I think they call it an auto. Auto
it's
attack.
An auto attack, yeah.
And then you have some like special attacks that when you chain them together, they cause different statuses. So it's not like a button masher or anything like Breath of Wild or Tears of the Kingdom.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe I will give it a chance because like I know that people love that series, and obviously we're probably getting more. But I guess it's the same with like Fire Emblem. There's always something with it that I want to like give it a chance. And I was planning on playing Fire Emblem Engage when it came out, and then I just got super busy at that time. So I never picked it up, but I don't know. I feel like it might be a series that I would enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, it's very story heavy. Like mm-hmm. the cutscenes are, I'm actually surprised I'm still playing it because the cutscenes are super long.
Well, okay, yeah, you said that it's bonkers. What does that mean? Like
the story's just weird. It's just so the, I mean, this isn't really spoilers. It's like the backstory of the game. So there's two factions in Xenoblade Chronicles 3. I honestly, I don't know if they're also in the other two. I don't know. But there's two rival factions, and they're fighting against each other. And you play as this group, well, I guess two different groups, one from each faction, and then something happens where they have to kind of come together because both factions turn against them.
Okay.
And then I think they only, typically the characters only live until they're 10 and then they die. Is that right?
What? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, so they call it Homecoming.
Okay.
And it's on the 10th cycle, which is 10th year. And it's interesting because you find characters really early on and they're confused because they're old. The characters are old, so they have like wrinkles in their face because they've never seen that before.
Uh-huh.
Because it's only young up to 10 years old. So
that's interesting. Okay. Yeah, this
but the characters don't good. It's not like a 10-year-old child that you're thinking of.
Yeah.
They're like fully grown adults. So I guess the however the
they age like dogs.
yeah, they age faster.
They're 10 in dog years.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, okay. Krimpus.
Krimpus Chrome.
Krimpus, the characters do not shut up in battle, so that is the one.
Don't
and they say
me.
The same thing over and over again. At least it's not you're feeling it. I'm feeling
the power
it,
of friendship.
Shulk says.
The power of friendship. That was before they updated Xenoblade 2, it was rough. It was rough. So
I do one last thing. About this is just RPGs in general or JRPGs in general. The cutscenes are so epic and over the top, but then when you get into the actual gameplay and the battle, it's like super like auto slashy it's not exciting at all.
It is when the penguins are attacking Bowser. And like it looks like they're just doing massive damage to him, and then it cuts back and it's like dead silent and the snow is just not affecting him whatsoever. That's what you just described.
Yeah, so if you could look past that, you'd enjoy it. I mean, I think you would like it for the story, just
That's cool.
I agree. And then what's the other one that you've mentioned people should play multiple times?
Yeah, so everybody should play Balatro. It's $15. It's a roguelike poker game. It's so good. That's what I play every single night.
It's finally surpassed Vampire Survivors, huh?
It's a good like, before bed game.
So, I mean, I love Vampire Survivors. Vampire Survivors is an update that you should check out. And you should always check out Vampire Survivors. There is actually a free trial on the European.
Yep, European eShop.
So I wonder if that will be coming over to the U.S.
For what game?
But this game, Vampire. Balatro is pretty similar for me as Vampire Survivor. It's like in that same vein. Like I just kind of shut my brain off and play for an hour.
Right on. Cheesy, what have you been playing?
So I went back to Hades after beating Side Order. I had a great time with Side Order, but then I was just wanting to get back into more roguelike. Cause after you beat the Side Order, like doing all the palettes, you can go back and just do like different kits and kind of give yourself different challenges, but you're not going to be like really earning anything from like the lockers. After you're done with the lockers, you're just done. So I went back into Hades. There's still so much in that game that I haven't done, and it's incredible how much time was put into that game, how much writing and like I haven't ran into the same dialogue yet, which I think is crazy, and I'm just so excited for Hades 2 whenever we get some kind of announcement. But last night I was looking at the eShop. I almost downloaded Balatro because of how much Johnny has been talking about it, and then I went to the demo section. And I forgot that Pepper Grinder had a demo. So I tried that. And I was really looking forward to Pepper Grinder because I just think it looks like a cool concept. It's like Drill Dozer, but like kind of pixelated. It's kind of, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, it's not Celeste where it's like a platformer, but you're like digging through sand and then you have to move the character a certain way to like get through the rest of the course. And I found that part kind of difficult because your character is just constantly moving. And so you get to kind of control the speed of it. But once you're in the sand, like it's really hard to turn around if you need to turn around and get to the area that you need to get to. It does seem like there's some like cool puzzles involved. The music is really cool. So I think it's worth checking out for that. But for me, like, I just don't think I'm going to be picking up this game when it comes out on the 28th.
Gotcha. Crawler, how about you?
I got back, since I've kind of finished Side Order, during the podcast last week, didn't I?
That's right.
I kind of went, I've gone back to Helldivers a little bit. I'm still trying to, it's kind of a lot of non-Nintendo stuff. Been playing through Final Fantasy VII Remake I have Rebirth purchased, but I kind of want to get through Remake since I never did that. I think I'm getting kind of close on that. So that's good there. And then Balatro, like Johnny was talking about it and I picked it up, and that's kind of what I've been playing if I'm playing my Switch.
It took me a year to buy Vampire Survivor, so I'm giving Balatro enough time. And then I'll and then I'll finally, like, you guys will be all done talking about it. I'll be like, you guys gotta check this game out. It's amazing.
IGN gave it a 9 out of 10.
Why do you think roguelikes are so hot right now? Like, obviously it's not a new genre, but I feel like we're seeing a lot more roguelikes and DLC for roguelikes.
It's so hot right now. Sorry.
No, I think it's the gameplay loop is just kind of satisfying.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, Hades, you unlock something new every time you play through it. And like, once you learn how to play the game and get more powerful, like, it's just fun to run through. And the runs aren't long. They're usually like 30, 40 minutes long in these games. And it's just a low time commitment.
Kind
and
of.
It's challenging. And it's a pretty good challenge.
It's the mix and matching too of everything. It's different every time.
See, I'm in a position where, like, Dead Cells, I can't see this opening screen one more time.
Cells became too much of the same thing that every time. You were supposed to just be better and get through that faster versus these games where you're getting different multipliers or different abilities and stuff. It changes how you play. I was the same with Dead Cells too, where it felt like the same thing over and over. You're just bashing your head against the wall.
Yeah, that's where that game literally turned me off from roguelikes, but I guess Vampire Survivors is still basically that, but it also feels very arcadey, which that's why I was drawn to it, because I'm like, yo, this is kind of like Geometry Wars in a way, just less, there's not really much skill involved. It's mostly just avoiding things, right? But
there's so, skill. I don't know. You gotta build up your weapons.
I mean, and you're not, I mean, yes, you gotta be able to get to the floor chicken and all that kind of stuff to stay alive, especially in the early stages. But so I had an interesting weekend because a lot of different games got purchased for the blocks. So I went back to Fire Emblem Three Houses, which that is so good. Like, I need to start forcing myself to take a day a week where I can lose myself in some of these bigger games, right? Like that and the Xenoblade series. I want to finish up those series so bad, or those games so bad. I don't know. You guys understand how you get this bug where you're like, you know, I want to play a JRPG, or I want to play Metroid, or I want to play Zelda, whatever the case is. Like, I think we have that bug all the time, but like, after getting a little taste of Fire Emblem, I'm like, I really want to get back into that. It was a lot of fun.
I haven't played it, but I have it downloaded, the Unicorn Overlord demo. I mean, that's kind of, from what I've heard from different,
it's Fire Emblem things. It's
Fire Emblem, like
16-bit, so. Kind of, yeah, something like that. Yeah, I mean I've heard some chatter, and some Aaron in the chat was like, you gotta play this. You picked it up, didn't you, Johnny?
Yeah, I picked it up. I played about an hour, and yeah, it's Fire Emblem. There's a lot of talking in it.
And it's just like any Japanese. It's the setup, right? And then
and it's a little bit different than Fire Emblem. You don't get to select your, like, in Fire Emblem, you get to select your attacks. This one, you pretty much put your troops in a particular order, and then they will, you know, do their skills. I'm interested to get more into it, but I want to get through, I don't know, this year, since there are literally no games coming out for the Nintendo Switch, I'm going to be playing some JRPGs.
There you go. All right. In the most Josh way possible, somebody informed me during Fire Emblem that you can essentially reset to your last few moves, which I may have known, but it's been so long since I played.
That's a casual move.
But that, yeah, I did find out I was playing on casual too. I did not know which one I was on. So, but it's probably for the better, honestly, because I'm like, I never do well at those kind of games. I just don't play them enough. But so that was super fun going back to that. Went back to Mario Galaxy. Somebody bought a block of Mario Galaxy, which was fantastic. Jumping back into that on the Switch was a good time. And it's amazing how just gorgeous that game looks for being a Wii game. Love seeing that. And got some time. I of course Mario Kart, that's a given. Did some Smash on Sunday, and that was a lot of fun. It felt like old times playing with the playing with stream and getting the queue set up and all that stuff. So that was a lot of fun. And then I just found an area in Tears of the Kingdom where, like, every direction I look, I can see a shrine I have yet to get. And so I'm like, I was so happy because I've been wandering for a while and haven't found any yet, and or hadn't found any. And I've finally found an area where I'm like, yo, they're everywhere. So, and I just love how those shrines are set up. Most of them are like, are real bite sized, super quick. Like, I remember in Breath of the Wild at times I was like, I don't want to do another shrine. Like, some of them seem to take longer than others. And, you know, I had one this week where I had to like sneak behind one of the robots and then hit him from behind. And I was like, can I just shoot him with an arrow? No, I had to follow the rules. So that was irritating me, but I still finished it. And I have one shrine I can't find. I have it on my map. I've been to it one other time. I don't know how to get back to it. It's,
you can, fast I don't believe it. To it.
I don't believe it exists. No, I can see it as a yellow, but doesn't have the blue line on it. So, like, I don't know how, I don't know what I did exactly. Like, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I think you had to swim to it. And I don't know that I had enough of the all the items to be able to build stuff, or I don't know. I can't remember. It's been too long. And I'm just like, I've gone searching for this thing multiple times and I cannot find it for the life of me. So, you know, we'll probably make it a whole adventure and try to turn it into some content. Cause
have you, the missing shrine. Have you beaten Tears of the Kingdom yet?
Nope. Not yet.
You're close though, right?
From what you guys said, no.
Well, no, you're closer the four to sages. The end than you are the beginning
of the main
yeah,
story.
That's true. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I honestly have not been doing anything story related. I've been finding the guys holding the signs and I've been doing shrines and I've just been having a really good time. Like,
wow. Do you know how much you just rhymed there?
I have no idea. I wasn't even paying attention.
Having a good time helping the guy with the signs, doing the shrines.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, Nate's here, so I had to get my wrap on. But Nate, part of the reason I'm doing this section where we're talking about games, and I want community involvement as well, so if you're here with us live and you've got recommendations for games that you're playing, Nate has talked about Penny's Big Breakaway nonstop, and he's like, the lack of love, the lack of Penny love makes me sick. Like, he has been
apparently there's going to be a 60 FPS update on Switch.
Oh, nice. So he has talked about this game since it came out. I haven't heard a lot of people talking about it, but he loves it. And he's like, I would say he's kind of like you, Johnny, when it comes to games. Like, there's not a lot that's pulling him in, right? Like, there's literally nothing on
the Nintendo Switch.
Johnny's playing like 8 games that he's playing right now on Switch.
Yeah, right.
I haven't touched my. I got a Steam Deck in January, and I haven't touched it in a month and a half.
Well, we all called that one.
Well, I will when Elden Ring DLC comes out. Anyway, sorry, Josh. I didn't mean to cut you off.
So anyway, he's just been going on and on about it, and I know we haven't brought it up on the show, so I wanted to just let some people know, like, you know, if that looks like something that would be up your alley, like that kind of 64 3D you know, action platformer, like, it is coming, highly recommended from the community. So if you were on the fence, like,
I did buy it and I played like a level of it. It's pretty good. It feels like if you like Sonic Mania, you would probably like it. I mean, gotcha. It's not a 2D platformer, it's a 3D platformer. It's like a classic 3D platformer, but the yo-yo is such an interesting concept that it adds to the platforming.
Did is you it like it? Cappy at all? The yo-yo, is it like Cappy in a way?
You swing from it
a little
right?
bit. I and mean, then yeah, you swing from too, it, right? and then you yeah, you can do some attacks off of it. So okay. yeah, it is like Cappy in a way. That is how you have to platform, like do the you know the intricate platforming.
Yeah, Nate said, yeah, something like Cappy. So anyway, I just wanted to make sure that game got a little bit of love because he's been talking about it in most of the streams and he's really stoked on it. So I was like, you know, I want to do a section at the beginning where we talk about some of the stuff we're playing, but then also any like new and noteworthy or even older and noteworthy games that like that have caught our attention. So
could I say a game not to get?
Well, I have a feeling it's going to be our first news article, so go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection came out today.
Yeah.
And it is trash.
Yeah, here's the tweet. 10,000 people playing on launch night only has three servers that have 64 slots for a total of 200 players. Multiplayer doesn't work otherwise. Price tag $35. I'm disappointed in this robbery. Don't buy Star Wars Battlefront Classic Edition.
So I think the server thing is unique to Steam, but that's still a big problem. Because Johnny, you said
that sounds sarcastic. I don't know. That sounds sarcastic.
But well, because like, somebody was like, "Oh,
what does it
Twitch,
have?
Right?
Like, does it have like three servers?" Yeah, I mean, I got on the Switch and I played Battlefront. There was a bunch of servers on Battlefront 2. I haven't tried Battlefront 1, but it was pretty easy to get into a match in Battlefront 2. It's just the connection is terrible. Like, you think Mario Kart Online is bad? Oh my god,
I feel so bad because I usually have a friend who will like. Ask me first if they should buy a game or like, oh, did you buy this game? What do you think about it? And they are huge Star Wars fans. And when I told them that Battlefront was coming to the Switch, because that's what they have, they were all about it. And they were just ready to just pre-order in that moment. And then they text me this morning showing that they bought Battlefront. And I kind of feel guilty. Because I didn't tell them ahead of time, like, hey, hold off, don't buy it. But I haven't heard from them. I don't know what their experience has been.
I mean, maybe they like it. Maybe, you know, maybe they don't notice the online issues.
Mm-hmm.
It was very hard to like get any kills or even like understand what's happening. I was excited because I never played them. Originally, so I wanted to check them out. It's just disappointing. Oh, and also it's 33 gigs on the Switch.
That is crazy. Massive.
So you need an SD card if you have a regular Switch.
Yeah, and it won't fit in a Switch Lite.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. If you guys are only listening, Johnny's head turned right there and was like, wait, does the Switch Lite have less space?
Yeah. and so it's made by Asper, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're the ones that are supposedly doing the KOTOR remake,
right? Which
was canceled and then was bought back, right? Wasn't it bought back? And
it's in the news right now. Give me one sec, I'll pull it up. I didn't grab it, but where's it at? Yeah. So Saber, Embracer Group sells Saber Interactive for a cool $247 million. And it says group discontinues all operations in Russia. And it's notable because Asper's in that group. They're a part of that group, as well as Zen Studios, which is the pinball company. There's quite a few, like it's not a small amount of games that are studios, that's for sure. So
the one good thing about it, I don't know if you want to move on, but the one good thing about it is it's not $60.
And what is $60?
What is it?
It's $35. So did you want to talk about this?
Yeah. Absolutely.
We're a Nintendo podcast. I think we should.
All right. So we were discussing what topics to talk about and if remakes or remasters should be $60. So Luigi's Mansion 2 HD is $60 and Paper Mario The Thousand Year Door is $60. And is it, are either of them worth it?
Well, Johnny, you had a bit of a firestorm on X talking about this stuff, right? What did what was your take?
Yeah, personally, I don't think remakes or remasters should cost more than the original game. I do see an argument for some remakes.
We hit about a little bit last week with Epic Mickey, right?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much any Wii game that gets ported to new systems is going to be $60. And everybody's talking about, oh, you know, that's just inflation, but wouldn't that mean all of their games would have to be higher? So like Odyssey would have to be higher. And, I know Tears of the Kingdom is 70, but Pikmin 4 wasn't 70, it was 60.
Well, and even going back to Star Wars games, I mean, weren't people talking, I think it was Star Wars games anyway, like The Force Unleashed and some of these older games, like, people were like, go buy this on any other system for a fraction of the price. Like, I can't remember. Maybe you guys remember just from memory. There was a certain game. Maybe it was the Portal Collection, which I did just pick up because it was like,
you could get that pretty cheap a lot. You could get it for like $5 on the Switch a lot.
That, yeah, yeah. But I think when it initially dropped, people were like, don't, like, why would you buy it? Like, unless it's your only option, you know, this is not the first time, but I think the lack of new games coming out is like, I think we might be seeing a little bit of fatigue of remakes with,
yeah, because RPG. I mean, when the Switch came out, right, they released a bunch of the deluxe versions.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember, I mean, I'm sure people were not happy about having to pay full price or, you know, $60 for those games, but at least they added stuff, like the deluxe actually meant stuff.
But we've talked about that before. There was a different reason for why people were buying the deluxe games, because most people didn't have a Wii U. So like that was the incentive for them, was to check out these games that they didn't play at the time. So I mean, I think it's different.
Nobody bought a GameCube either.
Yeah.
21 million people bought GameCube.
I could see an argument for Paper Mario because it is harder to get, and the aftermarket price is, well, was pretty high at one point. It was like over $150, I think.
Yeah, it's, yeah, that's definitely
a Carler, I think price. You're muted, maybe.
I was muted because I was coughing, but that's a GameCube game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But okay, well, what did you think about the price? What do you think about the price of RPG being like, because it's more of a remake, right? That's where you're feeling, if it's a full on remake, you don't feel as bad about the full price tag.
So Paper Mario is also a remake. It's not a remaster, it's a remake. But I think for me, the difference is like RPG is a totally different art style, or maybe it's not. I don't know. I mean, it's maybe that was like the art style that they had in mind for it, but because of the technology at the time, they just couldn't, you know, make it what they wanted it to look like. But I think that is worth it, even though that game, how long was that game?
20 hours.
I don't, I mean, I guess that's
longer than Luigi's Mansion 2.
Longer than Super Mario Bros. Wonder. But yeah, and who was it? It was like Nintendo that made a tweet that was like, I think we can all laugh at the fact that Luigi's Mansion 3 is on sale for $40, a really good game, and they are asking for pre-orders right now on Luigi's Mansion 2 HD for $60. Like, it's pretty funny. You asked earlier, like, are they worth it? I think they are worth it, but I don't think that they are worth the price. Like, they are worth the experience because those are good games. Like, I know that how you feel about Luigi's Mansion 2. It's not the best out of the three, but it still is a good game.
Worst.
Well, yes, that's what
well, elaborate meant. Why is it the worst? And worst meaning worst out of the three, but still a decent game, or not worth playing?
There's too many mansions, or there's too many hotels. Is it hotels?
So there's too much content.
They're mansions.
No, they're just. I didn't like the going between mansions.
After playing the first one, going. So I never played the first one. I only played the second one, and I because I had nothing to compare it to. I was like, this is fantastic. Like I didn't beat it, but I put a decent amount of time into that game.
I just think the first one, you know, that is what started it. I know it's a super short game, which is why they should have just bundled that with mm-hmm. Luigi's Mansion 2 HD. And I was thinking, you know, maybe on Mario Day, they were going to like shadow drop Luigi's Mansion 1 or something. Like, why do we have 2 and 3 and not 1?
I agree. I really think it should have been a 2-pack. Especially with as short as I think I said it on like one of the news minutes that it should have been a 2-pack Luigi's Mansion 1 and 2 so that we can have all three on the Switch.
I don't know if this is the case. Like, we have Luigi's Mansion 1 on the 3DS. However, with the Switch having more of a install base, Luigi's Mansion 1 is kind of scary for kids. Like, it's not a super scary game by all means, but when you think of Nintendo and then some of the ghosts that appear, it's pretty creepy. So I don't know if that's like the reason that they don't really like to mention Luigi's Mansion, or like they stepped away from that whole kind of feel of it too, because it was
on the 3DS though.
I know, but I 3DS didn't have as big of a install base as the Switch.
It had a pretty decent sized install base. 80 million.
I mean, there's stuff. But there's a reason why they switched that feeling, because it was kind of like kid horror, I guess. But it's like
Goosebumps. Minion.
What?
Like Goosebumps?
Yeah, maybe like Goosebumps. But like now the ghosts, they just kind of act like minions. They're charming, they have their own. Yes, yeah, it has more of a Nintendo feel than Luigi's Mansion 1 did,
which is more like Eternal Darkness, is what you're telling me.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, it shuts off your system and corrupts your save file,
deletes your save.
what a interest! Like, they should bring that back. That was such a cool concept.
Agreed. And Nate's making a great point. Metroid Prime, $40.
Yeah.
They also primed us for expecting
that to be a good entry point for a remake. Mm-hmm. And that was a complete remake too.
Well, they called it a remaster.
Well, whatever. Yeah.
I don't know the difference. Like, why is like Luigi's Mansion 2 is a remaster and Paper Mario is a remake? Why are they the same price?
Well, is it even a remaster if they just have HD? Is that what a remaster is? I don't know the difference either.
And they took away Dark Moon. Why don't they have Dark Moon in the title?
Oh, yeah. Is it not got a subtitle?
No, it's just Luigi's Mansion 2.
Mansion 2 HD.
It is interesting. I wonder what the reasoning is.
I think it's because of how well Luigi's Mansion 3 sold. If you say Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, like...
Yeah, but you still have the 2 there.
I don't think Luigi's Mansion 2, like our copy, I don't think it said Luigi's Mansion 2 Dark Moon. I think it's just Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon.
Hold on, I have it on my 3DS right here.
Because he's prepared, everybody.
I am prepared! You guys aren't prepared. That is just Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, which I don't know why they did that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's because this is a new game.
Yeah.
But they put
original. They said if there's going to be any like multiplayer stuff or anything in that.
God, I hope
so. I think they did. I don't know if it's going to be online, but I think they did.
It's like Scarescraper. But like that is one, like, I'm going to pick it up, but that is one thing that I'm missing is Luigi's Mansion 3 was so much fun with the multiplayer. I got to play that with my wife, and I don't think Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon or Luigi's Mansion 2 is going to have like a couch co-op mode.
So what could you do in 3 together?
Luigi.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Stop complaining about the price. You could get them for $50 if you buy the vouchers.
Oh, God.
I will say, though, even though the Mario Day was just like reveal dates, date reveals, it still is like, it's a good thing that Nintendo is like showing that they want to care about Mario Day. It's no longer just like a fan made thing.
They just don't have anything to announce. So, you know, they have to pull it together
for Mario.
Like,
yeah. I mean, like
together, we got release dates and then an announcement of a movie that we already knew was happening.
We assumed it was happening. We knew it was happening.
They made $1 billion. What are you talking about? That was a very disappointing Mario Day. People need higher standards.
Yeah, they're not ditching the creepy Lego Mario yet.
Oh yeah, we have Mario Kart Lego. That was exciting. That wasn't on Mario Day though.
It was like a day before, right?
Yeah.
I'm looking at Luigi's Mansion 2, single system. 1 local wireless, 1-4 online, 1-4 is what it says on Nintendo's UK site for Luigi's Mansion 2. So some kind of 4-player online.
I do want to say Cryptic mentions Tears of the Kingdom was the only $70 game.
That's because they knew they could do it to us and we'd buy
but
it.
But also you could get it for $50 if you buy the vouchers.
So that was a voucher game.
Yeah, so if you could get Tears of the Kingdom for $50, or you could get Luigi's Mansion 2 HD for $50. Like that's what baffles me about these pricing. Like it doesn't make any sense.
At least they lowered the price of Mario versus Donkey Kong.
Yeah, but then you're still paying $50 no matter what, even if you get the vouchers.
That game was a $30 game.
$50 either.
That was not a $50 game, yeah.
Yeah.
No. No.
And I think we all said that within like the first day of us sitting down playing that.
Yeah. And all of us know here that like it's just the Mario tax.
It's anything the Switch that tax. Has it's yeah. In general.
I mean, I think it's probably more like in this case, it's more Mario because like we were talking about like Pikmin and Metroid. And those are different prices because they just don't sell as well. But with like Princess Peach Showtime, that's going to be $60 because it's just a new entry. But I also think just because like they fall under the umbrella of the Mushroom Kingdom characters, they know people are going to buy it. And with how like well received Peach was in the movie, they're not going to put that at a lower price.
There is online play, by the way.
For
Luigi's Mansion 2.
Yeah, Josh Hardy said that.
This is why people tell us we're not prepared.
Wah, wah. Well, because you're not listening.
Well, I was looking on the eShop. One to four people online. Yeah.
Yeah, you're like
he already said that. Behind.
Well, I was researching it while he was saying it, so tuned it out.
I love it. That is great. That's great. Yeah, it's I think if these games were sprinkled in with a new sports title and a new Zelda, a new Mario, a new Fire Emblem,
I don't wish
like that
hurt on anybody. No more sports titles. Don't do that.
Yeah, no, well, I agree. I think it's if they had new stuff, I don't think it would hurt as bad. But now,
a topic of conversation, really. We would just be like, oh, cool, this remake's coming out, because, you know, we're also, but I think they're banking on Peach being like the hot new IP, and it's like,
no, Princess Peach is for my 8-year-old, and that's about it. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
So, I mean, I've never played Thousand Year Door, and I haven't completed Luigi's Mansion 2. So I'm like, you know,
well, we're all gonna buy them. So it's like, it's
so we're the problem.
Point. Yeah, but like, I think all of us fell off of Origami King, right? I didn't finish.
Oh, that game was not good. That was not a fun game.
Yeah,
that battling just got so samey.
I didn't like the battling, but I thought that it was a very charming, like, it could have made a really good Mario game. Oh,
so close. Yeah, it was so close to being amazing.
Yeah.
So I always get, like, you know, if I say something about I think it's overpriced, then I get told that I'm part of the problem for buying it anyway. But I think we are the people that should criticize it, because we are the fans.
The customer. Yeah.
We are the customer.
Well, and I mean, it, you know, I don't know. People are always going to have, like, this whole show is based on opinions, right? Like, it's just so we can talk about the stuff we're passionate about. So, you know, I mean, Nate is a great example of, like, I'm burnt on remakes attempting to cause hype. The hype has gone, and he won't pick them up. Like,
yeah, I don't like how we're just kind of sitting on our laurels until the next system, because we're not going to see new entries in any of their, you know, flagship titles.
Yeah, they're going to
the new. We don't know that.
No, we definitely know that.
We don't know that. There's six months.
We've had 6 months of remakes already. You think we're not going to get six more months of remakes?
Nope. I think that there is a strong possibility of at least having something new.
It's gonna be Mario Party.
Well,
Super
that would
Mario
count.
Party 2.
I would say, what
that
was
still counts.
What was
the no, last... I know. I'm just, it's not gonna be exciting.
What was the last first party non...
Mario Wonder?
Okay, so October?
Yeah, October. So yeah, since November.
So
November
five,
was RPG.
5 months now. Yeah.
Another code was January.
That, yeah.
Mario versus Donkey Kong was February. We get Peach this month, which is at least new. And then nothing in April. Endless Ocean, which I guess is new.
Could they drop something in April?
I don't know.
I mean,
last year in April, we got Advance Wars.
I mean, Metroid Prime 2. I mean,
yeah.
Wind Waker.
Remaster. But that's going to be another it's like, we're...
I'll be okay with that one, though.
that one we're kind of okay with, yeah. But, like, I don't know.
So, what if, like... I don't know, it's hard. I was going to ask the question, like, what if it was Mario Galaxy 2 that was getting released as a HD remake?
That should have been on the collection back 2 years ago.
Yeah, what if they release a Mario Galaxy 2 and you need to have 3D All-Stars?
A game that's delisted?
Oh, that would hurt if they charge you $60 for Galaxy 2 and we paid $60 for 3D All-Stars.
Well, and stuff being delisted is an issue too. Like, Cowabunga Collection's getting delisted in, is it Japan?
Yeah, it got delisted in Japan.
Like, and that's a win for physical, but still, it's like that stuff is unsupported now or whatever.
Is it like some of these have been coming? A few games have been getting delisted, and then like they're back a few days later.
Is that just to pop back up on Steam charts or something like that? Or
I'm not entirely sure. I'll look real quick at the Turtles one, because I was like, this seems odd. You know, like, just kind of out of the blue, like, why is that happening? But
I think, like, just in general, people are burnout on remakes, not even just games, but like series and movies, and people want to see new stuff. The problem is you just have to get people to buy the new stuff. They always say that they want it, but then they never show up.
They showed up for Helldivers.
True. Helldivers 2, right?
2. Yep.
So it does say it's being delisted, presumed because of licensing. So that, I mean, that does present a problem with the,
that was the same problem it had. Some of those games had back on Xbox way back when.
Well, this had the same problem on the Wii. The Turtles game, like at least the very first Turtles game was on the Wii until it was pulled in North America. I didn't even know, like, by the time I knew it existed, it was already gone. I was kind of bummed out, but
we just need that Ready Player One future, right, Johnny?
It would be cool to have everything in one spot. That would be cool. Yeah, I would love to know that licensing agreement.
It's probably one of the games is like... And what's interesting is even that collection did not get all the Turtles games. It's still missing one.
What's it missing?
Let's...
TMNT on Game Boy Advance.
I think we should talk about how these games are releasing on Thursday now. What's that about? Endless Ocean, Luigi's Mansion 2.
And Thousand Year Door, right?
And Thousand Year Door. They're all Thursdays.
So they could sell us deluxe editions so we get it 3 days earlier?
What?
And releases on Monday.
Is that just corrected for us? Or is that was that the same for Japan? We'd have to go look at Japanese trailers and see if it's it's on a Friday in Japan and a Thursday here.
In the UK, Luigi's Mansion is on 6/27. So if
which
I pull
is,
up,
I'm looking.
Okay.
6/27.
I think it's coming out 6/28 here.
Is a Thursday.
Hold on. I'm prepared. I got the eShop pulled up.
is that how you're prepared this week? Is just having the eShop?
More prepared than you are. You said, I think it's June 28th.
I think it's June 28th. You're going to have to apologize to me again because even Cryptic said that I was correct on Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon and you didn't
apologize
for that.
Estimated release date, June 27th, 2024. You're wrong yet again.
All right. Well, now we're even.
So that is Thursday. But I don't know. Does it matter? Day.
It's just interesting, right? Because they've always had Friday release. So
I mean, it's been Tuesday. It was Tuesdays before Friday. Everybody released their games on Tuesdays. And now that changed to Friday for Nintendo. So
people used to release CDs.
What?
Yeah. Cryptic is asking, so does John Ebo still think no new game during the fall since we know all release dates up until June?
Yes, there's no new game. It might be Metroid, but that's it. Just think about last year. We had one new game and the other ones were remakes. Well, besides Pikmin.
Okay, when did Wonder get announced?
That was June.
June, and then it came out in October.
But we knew about Pikmin. Yeah, we knew about Pikmin before that. Mario versus Rabbids was the year before.
A quick little side note. This game, Mario Kart, which we're watching, went into maintenance last night for an hour.
Switch 2 imminent. Oh, but, Switch Attach imminent.
But it didn't update. Yeah, what's the Switch Attach? What? Tell us, Johnny.
So apparently there is a rumor that the name for the next Nintendo console is Switch Attach because it was in a survey on YouTube. So like the survey on YouTube said something about what console do you own or whatever it was. And it was, you know, PS5, Xbox Series, and then Switch Attach. And I hope that's wrong because that is stupid.
But totally on Nintendo branding.
Like,
no.
Everybody's going to think it's just an attachment to the Switch.
Yes.
That was a Wii U problem.
Yeah, it can't be that. It cannot be that. I don't. And unless they're like, what are we attaching to this tablet? That's what actually has me concerned. Like
another thumb nub. Like, another thumb nub.
Or it is just an attachment for the existing Switch. Like maybe it's a more powerful dock or something.
Attach a SSD.
Yeah, you put it on the back and it increases the power.
It literally, you were only buying the tablet and you have to buy all the other attachments.
No. Well, didn't the other consoles want to make it more like a PC where you buy it piece by piece?
Krimpus says attach some good game.
I can't wait to see the first deluxe game. Man, it's going to be awesome.
I hope it's like a crash can to throw away. It'll play a better console. Oh my goodness. The chat is spicy tonight.
I don't know. I just want a new console. Like the Switch is so old at this point.
So I think it's interesting that you think the Metroid is going to come out this year.
Well, that's just the rumors.
So that's just a rumor. But like, I don't think that would help them in any way. If that's like the last game for the Switch, and they want people to buy. But if Retro's
been devoting 5 years to developing a game for the Switch,
yeah,
and this is the swan song year, even if they're not, and the fact that we're now 3 months, a quarter of the way through the year, and we haven't. The rumor is that it's not even coming out this year. Like, yeah, they need to get it out and give it a chance to sell before people stop wanting to buy anything for the Switch. That would help redeem the year a little bit.
This would actually be the perfect year for Metroid Prime 4 to come out.
Like, and
if
sell.
There's nothing else, sell. If there's nothing else. Yeah, because if there's nothing else, that's what people would buy.
I mean, I guess, like, I get what you guys are saying, but it doesn't sell already. And if that's just like the... Is that enough to get people to buy Metroid?
Done, if
just
it's because done it's well like the, and it's the only thing, and
if it's reviewing it gets buzz well
about it, yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, I could. It will definitely be the best selling Metroid, and especially if they change it. I think they, I don't think they could do a first person scanner. I don't think that could be what the gameplay is. You know, we're 20 years out from the original Metroid Prime, and that's dated at this point. Like, we need.
It needs to come out as a BR and have a battle pass.
Yeah, let's go.
No, but I mean, all jokes aside, I've always thought of Metroid as a, like, I've wanted Nintendo to like pass that off to like Way Forward as the 2D and have, I've mentioned it on here before, and have them do continual bounties, like where it's like you're running all kinds of different missions with Samus.
They can bring back Federation Force and actually have it be good.
Or Prime Hunters. Yeah. That was an actual multiplayer Metroid Prime. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, and it was really fun. Like the lengths I went to play, I had a thumb stylus so that I could make it feel like I was playing with a controller. And I played way more Hunters than probably I should have. Like I thought it was pretty fun. So there's a lot that they could do.
But Nate's calling you out about Way Forward in the new Contra right now.
Oh yeah, which is strange because I see like Nate didn't like it, but it.
No, I don't think it was well received by a lot of people.
Okay, the guys on the Xbox, like Xbox Factor podcast and stuff, they all seem to be liking it. So I
don't have anything else to play either.
Oh, here we go. that's true. Well, the thing is, Way Forward has a brilliant track record up until now. So Contra 4 is one of the best Contra games you'll ever play. It's just super, super hard, like incredibly difficult, but really, really well done on the DS. So I kicked myself for trading it in because it's expensive now.
They also did Advance War. And like, even though that was not my kind of game and I was frustrated with it, it did look really good.
Why does that game sound familiar? Remind me.
Advance War?
Advance Wars.
Oh.
It's like the Fire Emblem.
Oh, okay.
Military.
Yes. Yeah. I remember. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. They've got a pretty good pedigree. So it's surprising that Contra's not being well received. But I think for me, looking at the graphics of Contra, it's that style of like, what is this? It looks like a flash game kind of thing that I'm like, I don't love that personally. Like, give me pixels if it's Contra. There's not really any. I will die on this hill more or less. So he says I liked it, but the performance. Okay. So it was not, that's what I remember reading too. It was not, I think it's running better on the more powerful machines. So
I do think Metroid could suffer if they reveal it in June or whatever, because a longer marketing cycle would be better for that game.
They're gonna shadow drop it, and then they're gonna sell us the physical 3 months later. It's how they can.
Can you imagine if they did that with an actual release? I remember when I guess they did that with Wind Waker HD, but that was an HD.
And Metroid Dread did pretty well. You know, that had like what three months until it released. After the announcement,
it didn't sell more than 1-2 Switch,
but it's the best selling Metroid game.
Yeah, but they wanted to sell more. They wanted to be more appealing.
True, but I'm sure they took it as a W.
Well, and if they're going to keep doing 3DS games, let's bring back Metroid 2 Samus Returns from the
that
3DS.
That leak had it on there.
That leak.
They could do, I mean, if we're talking 3DS stuff too, they could do the all the Fire Emblem stuff that was on there. Wasn't there
Awakening would be really good.
Yep.
Hey, well, because we're getting Monster Hunter Stories or whatever, right? Is that
they're doing it right. You could buy Monster Hunter Stories 1 and 2 for $60. Capcom is the GOAT right now.
They kind of are. Yeah. They are.
They seem to be doing their remasters and remakes like correctly. They're leaning into what they did right with Resident Evil when they started, and it's trickling down pretty good.
Raises? Is that what I? They announced something for like they're going to give their employees raises or.
Oh.
Something.
I don't know.
I hadn't heard anything, but that's, I mean, with everything else that's going, like I saw right before we started, EA is letting go a bunch of the Apex devs, like Respawn. And the one tweet I saw, it was not pretty. The way they were just kind of tossed out like trash is what they said.
Well, they canceled the Respawn.
Capcom increasing all salaries by around 5% and a 20% or 28% rise for the new graduate hires for fiscal year 2024.
See, I know my stuff. I was prepared today.
All right, guys.
Wait, one last thing. I'm cynical. Do you think they shut down the 3DS eShop so they could start selling us these 3DS ports for $60?
Well,
I mean, I guess possibly, because that's Luigi's Mansion 2.
Johnny. Well, I wanted to bring up one thing here before we wrap, and that is random Pokemon fans reckon they've spotted a Legends Za teaser in Scarlet and Violet. Have you guys seen this?
Mm-mm. No.
So,
no, I wasn't prepared for this one. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, one day maybe you'll learn to be
prepared.
Don't
give me a 2-star review, please.
Right. So apparently, let's take a look here. So the Pokemon Company is no stranger. We're at NintendoLife.com. Is no stranger to leaving hints about what's to come in their games. Normally, these are only noticed in retrospect, as it turns out. Pokemon Scarlet and Violet appears to contain a nod towards the company's next title, Legends Zaw. And thanks Eurogamer is what it says. The tease in question was initially flagged on the r Pokemon Zaw Reddit by, it's probably ZA, right? And I just keep saying Zaw.
People, yeah, yeah. Gonna, I like Zaw better, another, though.
Yeah,
well, that's like, what we talked about last week. Yeah, Zaw.
Yeah, yeah. So by Reddit user Kyle Laveria, that's what it looks like, who spotted some familiar text when exploring Laventia in Scarlet and Violet's Paldea region. You see there's a sign at the front of the tall Laventian building, which appears to use the name, the same mysterious lettering as seen in the opening of Legend Zaw reveal trailer. Talking to a nearby NPC will reveal that the buildings are all owned by a real estate firm called Paldea Realty. And let's not forget that Zaw currently seems to be all about urban redevelopment plan for Luminous City. Certainly seems like it should add up. And then they have some pictures showcasing like the pretty much the same characters on both signs. So maybe a little nod found earlier than later, which is seems to be more typical for the Pokemon stuff, but kind of fun, right? Little, we're a few years out. We'll be playing with Mario Kart Legos and this Pokemon Zaw game at the same time. So I do want to quick, like, you guys being huge Lego fans, how do you feel about Mario Kart Lego?
I don't know where I'm going to put it, but I'm pumped.
I mean, it's going to be decent. It looked like it was a standard cart, is at least what was teased, but it's going to fit that demon. starter pack demon Mario. He'll probably be able to do some cool electronic things with it, but that thing's a nightmare to keep like charged and ready to go, and I don't even know where.
I really like the
technically Animal my Crossing son's sets. I don't even know where it is right now, but they've done some fun integration stuff with the adult sets, like the Bowser behind me. The stand has like a PAL block that you can scan, and if you jump, I think if you put Mario on his head or something like that, it makes a sound. And there's some cool stuff integrated with it, but I'd like to go more the route that they've gone with Animal Crossing and go minifigs and get away from the oversized kind of electronic Mario, but we'll see.
Johnny, being the Lego maniac that you are.
Yeah, no, I'm pumped. I'm excited to see, I'm assuming, you know, we'll get tracks, and I wonder what they'll base them off of. I was hoping it was for minifigs too, but they had that weird flash of the scary Mario. So it might not be, it's probably gonna be more playset style than adult. I do really like what they did with Animal Crossing, so I'm hoping they learn from that and use it. I think it's going to be huge. Like, I think Animal Crossing Lego is doing so well right now.
There's two more sets rumored to come out, I think, in August.
Yeah,
and there's potential for Brickheads too, I think, as well.
Yeah, but so they're being smart with the collabs. They're choosing the big IP. They're choosing Mario Kart, Animal Crossing. You know, we'll have a Zelda set here later in the year.
Cheesy, what do you think?
So I didn't know that it was like going to be a full like Mario Kart set. I thought it was still part of like the like kind of kid version of the like the play set.
And that ad did end with adults welcome, right? It was an 18 plus kind of advert, right, Johnny?
I don't remember. I know it said like driving in 2025, but now that scares me. I hope that isn't just another set in the.
That's the way it played off to me, but I would hope that with Mario Kart, they would know that they would sell a lot if it was more of like an adult set.
Well, remember Bowser is integrated with the,
yeah,
the Mario, the creepy Mario.
It did not say adults welcome.
But, so they're but not welcome.
Mario in it.
I'm also holding out hope that
they're not welcome.
That just because this might be a car that works with those, I mean, we could pretty much anticipate if it's got Mario's, it's going to have Peach and Luigi's, right? Those are the three, and then maybe Donkey Kong as well. If I remember correctly, are those the ones that have the eyeballs?
It's Mario, yeah. Peach, and Luigi.
Okay, and Donkey Kong doesn't have the eyeballs. He's just
No, he's a buildable.
Gotcha. So it'll probably be at least those three carts.
That looks small.
And
it's small. I mean, the buildable Mario is, I mean,
it's like 2 inches tall or 2.5 inches tall, maybe three. Yeah. But Bowser is, he works with that set, and it's an adult set, you know.
They all do. They all integrate with that. All the Mario line, like the NES, the Question Block, the Bowser, they all interact with that Mario.
Oh, the NES does also?
Yeah. Yeah, there's like a little scanner on top of the TV, and you just put it out there.
Oh, okay.
You put him on top of the TV and you do the crank and it plays the music, and there's a spot where you get a star in the TV and there's a spot where you get like a mushroom and it plays that sound.
Oh, I see. Interesting.
It's probably the most integrated of all the adult sets with the electronic Mario.
Got it. The other thing that speaks to me, honestly, is that Mario Kart is 2025, the actual game itself.
I think 2025 is going to be big. It's going to be a big year.
I think so too. And, you know, I don't know if I mentioned it on the show. I think we talked about it afterwards. I'm wearing a Mario Kart shirt right now. I'm a Mario Kart billboard most of the time. Mario, you can't go into a store and not see Mario Kart right now. I think they're marketing for that game already. I think they are. It's like guerrilla marketing. Like we're going to start making sure that nobody can not think about Mario Kart for the next year. And it's just, I mean, some of the designs they're coming out with, like some of the shirts that are for kids only, I'm like trying to lose a lot of weight right now so I can fit in a boy's large. Like they are so rad. Like I'm like, I just want to be a kid and play Mario Kart. Like that's, it's just not fair. But, I think that Lego set is really kind of like, it almost solidifies for me that the next Mario Kart's going to be right around that's it. Maybe before
it'll be a launch game.
I think it's very possible. I think they'd be silly not to at this point, especially since they're going to release it on Switch and Switch 2. So, you know,
Switch attach.
That's right. It's just going to have a slider for ultra mode in the Switch 2. You can up the graphics and frame rate. So, well, all right, guys, we're an hour and 12 minutes in. Thank you so much for being here with us live, for listening after the fact. Switch attached, Josh. Yes. Appreciate you guys all. And we will see you next week. Take it easy, everybody. Bye now.